you to open your Bibles to Matthew chapter 2. This will be the fifth message from Matthew, the third message from this chapter. The title of this message is Jesus of Nazareth. Verse 19. But when Herod was dead, that's the fate of an unbeliever. Believers go to sleep. Read the scriptures. Unbelievers are dead. And that's what will happen to all them. It doesn't matter how mean they are, how oppressive they are, how anti-God, they're going to die. And they'll be dead. They'll be forever dead. But when Herod was dead, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt, saying, Arise and take the young child and his mother and go into the land of Israel, for they are dead which sought the young child's life. Always got those folks that string along with the leader, don't you? Scared not to. Scared to go against it. But they're dead too. And he arose and took the young child and his mother and came into the land of Israel. But when he heard that Archelaus did reign in Judea in the room of his father Herod, he was afraid to go thither. Notwithstanding being warned of God in a dream, that he turned aside. In other words, the Lord sort of confirmed what he was worried about. And he said, yeah, you go and turn aside in the parts of Galilee. And he came and dwelt in a city called Nazareth, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophets. He shall be called a Nazarene. So our Lord was called a Nazarene. His followers were called the sect of the Nazarenes. Jews called his doctrine the heresy. The heresy, the gospel, they called the heresy of the Nazarenes. Our Lord was raised in Nazareth from maybe 4 or 5 on up to he started his ministry at 30 or so. That's a long time. Long time. They say that maybe where a lot of our Lord's parables came from is around that, watching all that went on in that town. Nazareth, we assume that he just worked with his father as a carpenter. But Nazareth was a place that was despised. Despised. It was a rural town, they say, about 3 days walking journey from Jerusalem. The people were just a rough and rustic group of farmers. Country, very rural. Butt of jokes, I would imagine. That's what the word Nazareth means. Sprouts. Mean as a cut. Netzer. If you read, and really now, you know, he says as the prophets spoke, but you can't find. You had to really dig to find what, because there's no reference in my Bible, so we had to go to searching. But over in Isaiah 11:1, let me read that to you. Isaiah 11, chapter 1, you can begin to maybe put it together. It says, and there shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse. What that means is that line of David was just about gone. It was gone. And all of a sudden, it says a stem will shoot up. Just a stem will shoot up. And what it means, if you follow that, is that stem will grow into a great tree. Just a stem. You know, we've seen, I cut a tree down in the pasture down along the spring several years ago. And my goodness, it's a full-grown tree now. Just out of that old, I just left it alone. I don't know how big that tree gets. And it's just as big as any other tree now. And a branch, and that's where, that's that netzer branch or a sprout, shall grow out of his roots. You've got another passage here in Zechariah. Chapter 6, verse 12. And speak unto him, saying, Thus speaks the Lord of hosts, saying, Behold the man whose name is the Branch. The Branch, all capital letters. And he shall grow up out of his place, out of that old rural place of Nazareth. That's where he's going to grow up, out of his place. And he shall build the temple, the church of God. Out of that no account place called Nazareth, I'm going to bring my son. I brought him out of Egypt, didn't he? Now I'm going to bring him out of here. And he's going to build a huge tree. Huge tree. But they were rough. They were just joked about. We'd call them, they could be rednecks in our day. That's what they'd call rednecks or tobacco road people. You know, Tobaccarino, Erskine Caldwell had that novel, and it was a dirty name to Southern folks. That's what he meant through the whole book. It was a misinterpretation of most Southerners. And he was from the South. Sorry, devil. Y'all, some of you remember, if you were up in the 60s, you remember a controversy between a band called Lynyrd Skynyrd and Neil Young. Neil Young wrote a song, The Southern Man. It sounds good, don't it? Southern Man, about the same thing. He downed folks out of Alabama. That's why Lynyrd Skynyrd came back with that song, Sweet Home Alabama. He mentions Neil Young in there. Said Neil Young drove her down. But that's the example of that's what we're familiar with. That I'll give you another example in a minute. But Nathaniel said something. Nathaniel said, and he meant this as a slang. Nathaniel said, when Philip, he said, "Can any good thing come out of Nazareth?" You've heard people say that. Can any good thing come out of so and so? So most often it's meant as a term of contempt. But our Lord didn't. He never attempted to hide his hometown. A lot of us would. And rightfully so. You know, I don't really want to know I'm from there. A lot of us attempt to hide our hometowns. But he referred to himself as Jesus of Nazareth. That's what he told Paul when he struck him down. He said, "I'm Jesus of Nazareth, whom you're persecuting." Try to hide it. His disciples spoke of Jesus of Nazareth in a good way. In a good way. Those guys that were walking down the road to Emmaus there. The devils trembled at his name, Jesus of Nazareth. They knew. They knew about that tree coming on. They knew. So you have some, as it is in our day, who honor his name. But for the most part, he was despised. And that's what they meant, despised. And then you have this part. But Matthew, in this part of the scripture here, this section says, the prophets have declared as a Nazarene, he would be despised and rejected of men. That's what Matthew is saying, so the prophecy might be fulfilled. Because if you run those references, that's sort of what they're talking about. And then there's that another part of this thing from Nazareth is, see, he took on, remember, scripture says he'd take on no reputation. Years ago when I was in school, we went over to Chambly and played a football team over there at a school called St. Pius. And we got off the bus and they were saying, "Go back, go back, go back into the woods." And as you get older in life, you see that, they were from Atlanta, but folks from New York make fun of folks from Atlanta, don't they?
Yeah.
And then, Julie, we went back to Douglas County and made fun of folks from Paulding, and y'all make fun of folks from Polk, and then it just spills over in Alabama, and Alabama folks make fun of folks from Mississippi, and, you know, that's how it goes, isn't it? Well, our Lord said, "I'm going to take absolutely no reputation." He said, "I'm not going to dwell in Rome. I'm not going to dwell in Jerusalem. Nazareth. Somebody said, "Well, Lord, if you got to be in that region of Galilee, couldn't you have come from Capernaum?" Nope. the lowest of the low. He was not only became a man, not only did he become a man, but he bypassed the best place of Israel and said, this is where I'll come from. This is where I'll come from. Though for our sake, though he was rich, yet, why did he come from Nazareth? For our sake. Your sake, he became poor. Poor in the ultimate sense, to the lowest degree, he was born a man, a Jew, a Galilean, a Nazarene. Look at this. Here's the first point. Nazareth and a Nazarene, he is a Nazarene. Our Lord was despised then. People despised his person, his parentage, his state, his apparel, his language, his habits, everything. They despised every single thing about him. You read the script, read these Gospels. Everything he did, they picked on. Everything. He couldn't do anything right. Simply because, why? He was a simple, gentle, lowly man. Even when promoted, he declined. Let me John chapter 6. John chapter 6. Verse 15. When Jesus therefore perceived that they would come and take him by force to make him a king. This wasn't a hostile force. This was a good force. They were going to take him and make him. They were going to rebel against Rome and set him up as king. These people were. He wasn't promoting himself. What did he do? He slowly slid out the back, departed, disappeared. He didn't promote himself. He preached. He preached humbly and quietly in Matthew 12 there. There's a fella that sits up here on the corner during the week across from the store where Pop used to be, and he's a road preacher. I stopped, rolled my window down one day just to hear what he was saying. It was nothing. Nothing. Just a bunch of screaming. Nothing. But that was common. Nothing wrong with street preaching. You used to see it a lot. Our Lord did that. Our Lord was a street preacher. Matthew 12:19. But he wouldn't do that. He shall not strive nor cry, neither shall any man hear his voice in the streets. He's not going to make a spectacle of himself. He's going to be quiet and humble. And if you want to hear, come here. If you don't want to come, don't come. I'm not going to make a spectacle of myself. That was our Lord. No popularity, Hunter. Those that opposed him right there in chapter 12, those that opposed him were like, he could have, like bruised reeds. That's what it said, bruised reeds and smoky flesh. Mouth. He could have debated them. He could have just crushed their debates. Let them go. He never touched them. Never let them go. Wasn't what he was here for, was it? His beauty was hidden in normalcy. They say his stature, the size of men in that time, size of the average Jew, was about 5'4". So I'd have been a little bit bigger than most of them. About 5'4". So he was probably about that. So I didn't stand out. His clothing, he was poor. So his clothing was cheap material, and probably all knitted up and sewn up and patched. So you really didn't see his beauty unless you knew him, did you? Because the Bible says he was a beautiful, good-looking man. But you never saw that until you knew him. You know, you've known folks like that. It's like, wow, he or she's pretty, as you get to know him. That's how our Lord was. But you had to know him, didn't you? You still got to know him to see his beauty. His companions. What about his companions? Well, they were the lowest of society. But they knew him. They knew him. They knew the beauty. Even though they were the lowest, they saw the beauty. And that's what the Pharisees would say. Oh, this man receives sinners and eats with them. Sorry, old Nazarene. What do sinners do? It says, then drew all the publicans and sinners near, close, because he wasn't speaking loud. He wasn't making a spectacle. So they drew near to hear what he had to say. While these others, I don't know, these Pharisees, these good folks, stood back there and said, stupid Nazarene, followers of him. Why did they do that? Lifted them up, didn't he? He gave the poor hope, good hope. Good hope. He gave them good hope. His words brought good hope to the poor, to the sinners, to the publicans. He set them up among princes, as the scripture says. He did it naturally. He did it naturally. His graciousness and his kindness were just natural. Sometimes in your life you see men and women who are just naturally gracious and kind. You don't have to work at it. And it stands out, don't it? I had to work at mine, unfortunately. Not that way, naturally. But even the most gracious man and woman is nowhere like our Lord. Never showed. He just did part of him. He was God. Just flowed from him, didn't it? And for all this, he was hated. What did he do wrong? What was he doing wrong? But they hated him. Religion hated him. His followers, his disciples, those who really worked with him. This caused contempt for him. What were they? Just common old fishermen. Just most of them were fishermen. Had a tax collector thrown in there, and you really don't know what to read. One of them was a zealot, Nathaniel, I think. They say he was sort of a rebel rouser. But the rest of them, you really don't know what they were. You just some kind of normal, everyday work is what they did. You know, that's another thing I thought as I read this. You know, our Lord spent nearly 30 years of his life learning. Learning through life. Learning about life by being in life. And he called his people out of life. And I thought about all of this. Not part of the message, we'll get back to in a minute. But I thought about all of these boys that are going to school now to be preachers. To be preachers. Learning to be preachers from high school. I don't understand. I don't get that. How do you know that's what you want to do? Have you learned anything to help anybody? You haven't learned life. I think that's why he selected them. He did not one religious leader in that whole bunch. Not one religious leader did he select. He wasn't here to accommodate anybody, was he? Or to attract. You know, most folks would at least throw one good guy in just for the sake of saying, well, I did. But he wasn't a politician. He didn't care what people thought about him. He just picked the common folks, and they gave a common message. He taught them to bring a common message, didn't he? Just bring a common, simple message about me, and you'll be fine. Unlike old Simon, you remember old Simon, who old Pharisee Simon, he I imagine he'd sat around his house and expounded things that didn't matter at all. Just didn't matter at all. But the common people heard our Lord gladly. I wonder how many common people showed up at Simon's house to hear what he had to say. Probably not many. But our Lord, they said, they heard him gladly. So then men like Simon got mad and ran the Nazarene down. Ran him down. And they said, look at his helpless followers. Look at Mary. Look at that. Look at that. What's she doing that for? They even demeaned the children. They sure did. Matthew 21. Let me read it to you. Matthew 21:16. He said, Hearest thou what they say? And Jesus said to them, Hear those kids. Hear them saying you're king. Hear them saying you're this. Hear them saying you're that. Hear them. And our Lord said, haven't you ever read, as much as you folks read, haven't you ever read that out of the mouth of babes and sucklings thou shalt perfect praise? That's what Isaac Watts was talking about in that hymn there. And infant voices shall proclaim their early blessings on his name. There it is right there. But this is what really got him. This is what really ate him up. His doctrine is what got him. That's the crux of the matter. But why did it make him so angry? So what made him so despised? Well, one thing was this. He told one of their religious leaders, one of their ringleaders, said, except a man be born again, he can't see. Can't see the kingdom. He said it, boldly said it to them. He didn't hold anything back, did he? Just boldly said it to their. He said, you got to have a regenerated heart. The heart you're trying to work with is not going to get you there. You got a bad heart. You got to have a new heart. Spirit's got to give you that heart. You can't gin up that heart on your own. And Nicodemus thought he could. All those Pharisees thought they could. Do it on their own. And he told him this. This is why they despised him. He said, it's as necessary for you to have a new heart as it is for that vagabond to have a new heart. It's as necessary for, in our day, for a president as is a prostitute, isn't it? Got to have the same work done. Doctor and a ditch digger. It's got to be the same work. Ain't no day. That they hated that. They hate it today, don't they? They called him a Nazarene. Why? Because his doctrine just leveled the playing field. They thought they were way up here, but his doctrine just leveled it all out. You're no better than any. You're no better than marry that prostitute. You're no better. Matter of fact, you're worse off. Then he told him this, another discourse. He said, except you eat my flesh. This boy's really got him. He said, if you eat my flesh and drink my blood, there's no life in you. And they were sons of Abraham, they thought. That's why, well, what's this guy, what's this Nazarene telling us? We're sons of Abraham. What's he telling us? What's he talking about? We're free men. Always tickle me. They always thought they were free men, roam all around them. But we're free men, sons of Abraham. Submit, we got to submit to this Nazarene and say we believe in him? I'm not having it. We got to admit that his teaching, that all these other old poor folks are going and running after, we got to admit that his teaching is what we got to believe? I'm not going to have that. His teaching is food for my soul? Mm-mm. He's my life? No way. No way. So many of them, it says, turned and walked no more. And I imagine as they walked away, they said, Nazarene over their shoulder. Nazarene. Nazarene. Then in another place, he said, you blind guides. You blind guides. You hypocrites. You strain at gnats. That's how dedicated to the law they were. You know what that straining at gnats was? They'd get a dipper of water and run it through a filter to strain out the bugs. Because they weren't going to ingest because it's somewhere in the law they found not to swallow a gnat. But they were swallowing camels, he said. You strain a gnat, but you're swallowing camels. You're missing it all. You got a bad heart. You got a hypocritical heart. You got a show of religion. He says, your religion's a lie. And they said, we're the best of the best in religion. There's no way our religion's a lie. We're the best. He's nothing but a Nazarene. Don't paint it. But they couldn't get away from it. You know, if a man told you, Joe Parsons said this one time, he said, if I came in here and told you that the Bible said you need to tithe 12% of your money, he said, stupid old man, the Bible says 10%, and you wouldn't pay me a bit of attention, Just going about your business. Just, I'm a crazy old. He said, but when I come in here and tell you the truth, it makes you mad. And that's what happens, isn't it? That's why it made them mad, because they knew it was the truth. Knew it was the truth. That's the way it is now. They know it's the truth. It makes them angry. That's the second point is that. No different today. Look over it. Acts 24. Acts 24. This is Paul before Felix here. Verse 5. This Tertullus guy, this guy that's doing the speaking. He says in verse 5, he said, we found this man a pestilent fellow, talking of Paul, a pestilent fellow, and a mover of sedition among all the Jews throughout the world, and a ringleader, what's that say, of the sect of the Nazarenes. No different. No different. True followers of Christ are despised. And they're always going to be despised. Just like it was with our Lord. You know what I say? What they despised him for, his heritage, his parentage, his person, his state, his apparel, his language. They'll wrap it. Folks around you will wrap it in something else. They'll wrap it in something. One thing they'll say is, that little old church down there is so old-fashioned. Just so old-fashioned. They got those old doctrines. And if some of them really knew what they're talking about, they may even call them puritanical doctrines. Got those old beliefs. They probably even sing out of a hymn book still. I've heard that. I've heard people about this little group and other little groups. They still sing out of a hymn book. They sing them old gospel songs. Or they'll say, those folks just believe. They just believe those old things about the Bible. You've heard folks, they still preach out of the Old Testament down there. We're in the New Testament in our church. You can tell because they missed the Old Testament part that said, I'm God, I change not. Right? They missed it. So yeah, they're in the New Testament. But it's just like we've been saying with our Lord. Here it is. Here it is. What gets them, over there wrap it around other things, what gets them is what we say.
Right.
That's what gets them. The contempt they have for the gospel, the truth of the gospel. The requirements of the gospel gets them. They hate the idea of justified or saved by faith alone. That's always been the thing. Martin Luther. You just go through the scriptures and then you follow believers all the way up. That's been it. Justification by faith alone. Nothing, what's the song say? Nothing in my hand I bring. Simply through your work on the cross I cling. That's it. Justified by faith. There's a senator. His name is Raphael Warnock. Unfortunately, he's from here. He made a statement. Now, on a personal level, I'm going to tell you this because it goes on Facebook, and I hope it gets to the jerk. But on a personal level, I think he's a radical racist. I do. I think he's a renegade. But I know this, and that's my personal opinion of him, and he can hear it. But I know this. He's no gospel preacher. He made this statement at Easter. He said, listen to me. He said, the meaning of Easter is more transcendent or exceeds or surpasses. The meaning of Easter is more transcendent than the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Whether you're a Christian or not, through a commitment to helping others, we can all save ourselves. In other words, as long as the masses find something good that they define as good to do, they'll all go to heaven. That's what he's saying. This is what's told by many others. Many, there's congregation after congregation hearing it. Now, Warnock's supposed to be a Baptist preacher. And that's just basic Baptist, no.
Right.
But I'm going to tell you that there's other Baptist pastors. Mike Huckabee, maybe he'll get this. He ain't a bit different. A couple of weeks ago, Easter, same time, he grouped Protestant believers, Catholics, and Jews all together. That's not possible. That's not possible if you preach the gospel. You got to make a stand. And if you die for it, you die for it. So maybe Huckabee will get this message and think about it. I guess I need to get on Facebook because it sort of gets hit unless the Lord just makes somebody hear what you have to say. This is the icing on the cake. This is why we're despised. Atonement by the blood of Christ. Alone. Remission of sin is only by substitution. Christ stood for you, period, if you're a believer. Period. You got nothing to do with it. Warnock, you got nothing to do with saving yourself. This is, I asked Brittany to respond to him with me. So this is my response to Warnock. I said, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin.
Amen.
There is no saving yourself. The fact that the Father raised Jesus from the dead was proof that He was satisfied with the sacrifice. And that's how we get to heaven, folks. Substitution and satisfaction. That's it. Now here it is. You can call yourself a Christian and forget what that means. Christian means followers of Christ. That's where the word came from. You can call yourself that and just conveniently forget what that means, and you'll have an easy time of things. You will. You can leave off the gospel, find music and shows and theaters and do all that on Easter, and turn your place of worship into a theater, and you'll be okay. You'll be liked. But you preach Christ. You testify Christ. What Christ? Christ taught the sovereignty of His Father. He taught the truth of God's Word. He taught about original sin, that we're dead. We're dead. We're dead. That's why He told Nicodemus, you've got to have a new birth. You're dead, man. You're dead. We're totally depraved. No free will at all. He talked about eternity. He said, my Father chose me from eternity for a group of people. He called them His sheep. He didn't say, my Father chose me to come for all the sheep and goats in this world and you choose. He said, my Father chose me and I die. I lay down my life for my sheep. Two words, my sheep. And then he preached disciples. So you leave all. You're not just a Christian. You're a Lord follower. You leave all and you follow Him. Wherever that leads, that's what you do. That's what our Lord taught. And you preach that, and you're going to be despised. Or you do this. You as just regular, everyday workers. You go out into this world. You can go through the world as a professor. Never stand for the truth. Just sort of get quiet when it comes up. Or, you know, I need to run to the bathroom right quick. And you'll get from January to December unscratched pretty much. You know, just avoid it. Just avoid it. But you speak the truth. You speak your conscience. And your whole family's going to turn on you. They'll turn on you. But I tell you this, to be spoken of in the same breath as my Lord, to be spoken of as a follower of that Nazarene, as a rebel rouser, I think that's a high honor, don't you? I think that's, and may God give us grace just to keep on keeping on when things are tough. All right.